Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. With a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you'll end up paying over $400,000 after interest. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your debts. Let me send you a powerful free CD. For your free CD, call 1-800-338-2884. 1-800-338-2884. 1-800-338-2884.
Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and good evening for Sunday, September 18th, 2011. I am Doug Kelly. I'm so glad you could join me tonight. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science as part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. We'd like to welcome all of our live listeners, those in the chat room, as well as those listening to the archive. Good to have you with us. We also appreciate Reverend John Hightower here screening our calls. If you have a comment or something you'd like to make, you can, of course, make that in the chat room. If you have a question, you can also call in. Just keep your calls very brief, and we will get to those. Tonight, we are going to be talking about metaphysics in the Bible Belt in the first portion here with special guest David Clifton. He will join me. He is the MCHS Church's Membership Director. And then tonight, we've got a new feature. We've got our very first ever ceremonial rite. It's called the Rite of Equinoctial Equilibrium, and it's going to be the first of four positive ceremonies that we're going to have over the course of the year to help participants recenter, refocus, and get encouraged. So that's coming up somewhere around the bottom of the hour. And if you'd like to participate in that, grab a candle if you've got one. If you don't have a candle, maybe you got a flashlight. That could, you know, substitute for it. And if you don't have either one of those, then you can just imagine a candle when we get to that part. And of course, following that portion is Dr. Vicky Psychic Perspective, and she has special guest Camille Edwards returning. From last week, unfortunately, last week the internet went down. My internet went down around the whole area here, and so the show was cut short. Apologize for that. Nothing I could do about that one, though. All right. If you'd like to call in with a question, the numbers are on your screen, 714-459-3973. Again, Reverend John Hightower will be screening your calls, taking your calls. And if you've got questions, you can type them in the chat room as well. So tonight, for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about metaphysics in the Bible Belt, and joining me is MCHS Church's Membership Director, Reverend David Clifton. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, everybody.
Glad to have you tonight. Glad you could make it.
Yeah, glad to be here.
You had a choice, you know, of going on a European vacation or appearing on the show tonight, and, you know, all I can say is he chose wisely. I'll kick him next time. No, I'm just kidding you. All right. So, Dave, this topic of metaphysics in the Bible Belt, obviously that's a bit of an issue that you have faced. And let's just kind of define what's the Bible Belt. Well, the Bible Belt is an area of the United States, actually a pretty significant area of the United States. And if you picture the United States and divide it into four quadrants, it's, you know, kind of it's probably the whole southeast part of the country from about, what, the eastern part of New Mexico all the way through Texas and all the way over to the East Coast and up through Kentucky and down into Florida. There's only two points, the tip of Texas and the tip of Florida, that don't really appear in that. But the whole big chunk of the country is considered the Bible Belt. So what part of the program or the country are you in?
I live in central Kentucky.
Which is part of the Bible Belt.
I live about 60 miles south of Cincinnati, so right in the middle.
So So, what kind of reception have you found, Dave, to metaphysical concepts in your area?
Well, you know, in my town, it's not, you know, we don't have mosques or synagogues or anything like that. So everybody that you run into is either a Christian or has a Christian background.
Right.
So nobody really, you know, knows a lot about anything else. And when I try to explain this stuff to people, usually what comes up is, you know, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in Jesus? And, you know, when I answer those questions for them, that's
no, and no. Is that your answers?
Yeah. and that's where conflict sometimes arises. Some people are fairly open-minded, but, you know, it's just, it's an uphill battle usually.
Well, and that's typical, you know. I mean, I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, have a Christian background to some degree or other. Most of us do that are probably listening to this program. And it's a challenge because, you know, that basically the Christian mindset is that they're right, you're wrong. You know, they, in their mind, many of them, they're doing you a favor by trying to convert you. It's not a matter so much of being open because they already know it. They already have their truth, and that's what they're trying to do. So when this is a challenge that most of us have in the metaphysics field, you know, when we're interacting with neighbors or people around us or just people in our area, you know, they find out what we do, and just depending on their level of devotion to their religion, you know, folks like us can be considered as, you know, part of the devil and, you know, demonized and witches and all kinds of things.
I've been told that I'd been poisoned and that, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about. And I actually have a pretty sound background in religious type information. And
you've done a lot of research, haven't you?
It's been, you know, an interest since I was small child, and I'm pretty confident in my knowledge.
Right.
And you know, sometimes the only thing to do is point things out, and that usually doesn't get you very far. You know, they just backtrack and reinterpret and spin doctor things, and
you're trying to fight. You know, you're trying to fight an uphill battle, and you know, and this is just something that we all have to understand. You know, when you're dealing with people in various and varied beliefs, obviously we need to be tolerant of those beliefs, just as we expect them to be tolerant of our beliefs. And the interesting thing, at least about those of us in MCHS churches, our beliefs, you know, primarily do no harm, do right. And, you know, that's what's wrong with that. You know, how does that make us anything from the devil? But the thing is that this show is not designed to criticize those people. It's designed, you know, how do you deal with them? Well, the one thing that they are doing that we should not try to do is convert. It's not up to us to convert. Now, their religion teaches them that it is up to them to convert, and that's what they do, some of them with a vengeance almost. But it's not our job to convert. And so rather than going out and, quote, witnessing to others about what we believe and what we do, that's just not part of our belief system. That's not necessarily what we do. You can share, of course, your beliefs with people if you feel that there's some benefit to it. And I recommend living your principles. That's the greatest, shall we use the term, witness or testimony to what you do. And I know you've had some experience in that, and people have come to you for suggestions or a little coaching or counseling, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've had, you know, several people ask me my opinion on things, and generally, until, you know, the subject of the Bible or God comes up, everything's pretty positive, really. And I was actually talking to a guy today at work, and I think he's a Pentecostal, actually, and he said, you know, I don't believe what you believe, but what you say makes a lot of sense, and that made me feel good.
Well, and that's the point. That's the key. You know, if you're a grounded individual, you're not way out on the further fringes of reality, you know, you're living your principles, and they see that that's the best example there is. And so, questions from the chat room. Do you feel like a pioneer in your area helping to change or open up the psyche?
At least in my area, I don't think there's really ever been anybody in my town that does much of this. So, you know, in my location, yes. Overall, you know, it's been around for years.
Yeah, but in your location, it's not prevalent.
Oh, yeah. In my location, I'm fine here, definitely.
Right. So, little by little, perhaps opening up awareness. And that's the point, isn't it? Opening up, increasing awareness of people about the alternatives that there are to Christianity. And another question, how do you manage your feelings? I mean, you obviously feel perhaps the intolerance at times. How do you manage those feelings?
Sometimes overly aggressively. I'm one for a good debate, and so I don't mind to have a friendly argument with somebody if that's what they want. But yeah. I've been feeling bad about that lately.
How's that work out for you?
Well, it usually doesn't make any difference, but...
Right. And Dave and I had talked about this the other day, too. And, you know, I appreciate your honesty, too, because a lot of us have done that. I mean, we've all gotten into those little, you know, battles, if you will. But that's the point. And this is good for everybody listening to the program. You know, if you do encounter very devout Christians that are there to convert you, there to tell you that if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to go straight to hell, that kind of thing. Yeah, you got to understand where they're coming from, and you probably do. But the big question when engaging folks like this is, what's to gain here? What's the point of it? Where is it going to go? You know, it's not a matter of my God's bigger than your God or that kind of a thing. For us, it's not. For them, it probably is. But it's a matter of, is there anything positive going to come out of this interchange? And we have to remember the old adage, pick your battles. So if there's something to be gained, then discuss it. Now, you're going to have at times, and I'm talking to everybody here, not to Dave, but I'm talking to everybody. You know, you're going to have times when there is an honest-hearted person, to use their term, that wants to know about what you believe and what you're doing and the alternatives there, and they will ask many questions. But you can tell when they're asking questions as to whether they're really open to it or whether they're just trying to find ammunition to pounce on you. Have you noticed that, Dave?
Yeah, on some occasions I've noticed that, you know, people don't really have any big desire. They're just, you know, wanting to see if I'm a kooky nut job and, you know, stuff like that.
So how do you feel about being a kooky nut job?
I don't mind it.
Well, it's probably more fun. You know, Chuck brings up an interesting point in the chat room. Any reason why the two can't coexist? Can't one believe in Christianity and metaphysical sciences? And that's a great point. I mean, yes, you can. It depends on the flavor, of course, belief. Christianity, by definition, believes in a God, in a divine being, in a you know, and it just depends. Yeah, you know, and we think about religion. I mean, it does contain metaphysics. Any comments on that, Dave?
I told somebody that if I ever opened a church, it would say everybody's welcome on the front door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that what we're saying is against what Christians believe so much as they are more intolerant of beliefs that aren't already included in their teachings.
Well, and that's true by definition because, you know, according to the Christian belief system, there is only one way and there is only one future and there is only one way of salvation. And so there's a lot of things that the Christians believe that would be incompatible with some types of metaphysical beliefs. For example, the MCHS church is certainly incompatible with Christianity because we don't believe in a God and we don't believe in sin. We don't believe that people are sinners. We don't believe that they should be denigrated. You know, so there's going to be some conflicts there. But in other general metaphysical principles, there generally is no real conflict. It just depends on the specific flavor, if you will. So, what's your plans, Dave, in moving forward?
I hope to become a doctor of metaphysics and open a church.
Yeah, so you're going to go right from the frying pan into the fire there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good. So, any other things, any other points or techniques or tips you might want to share with listeners on how to, you know?
I think that it's important for anyone that wants to pursue a metaphysical ministry to have a good grounding in comparative religion. Because especially with this being kind of a new religion, anybody that comes to it is going to be somebody that's disillusioned with no one.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps to know what beliefs they're coming from to be able to have a conversation with them. And good communication is very important.
Oh, yeah. Kathy in the chat room asks, how do aliens fit into the whole scheme of things? And I'm not quite sure, Kathy, of what scheme of things you're referring to, whether it's Christian or whatever. But Christians, you have to understand, of course, Christianity, there's a number of sects. What is it? Last time I knew it was 1,000 or 1,200 different sects of Christianity. And they all have slightly different beliefs, but generally speaking, Christianity does not believe in extraterrestrials. Of course, there are Christians who call themselves Christians, but they're really not active or they don't really pursue it, but then they do. But Christianity proper doesn't necessarily believe. In fact, they pretty much don't believe in it as a rule. There's always exceptions to the rule. So that's kind of the answer to that question. And that's another good point, you know, Dave. I mean, in your experience, you've got a wide variety of devotion, right? You've got certain people in your area that are very devout, that are perhaps fundamentalists. You mentioned the Pentecostals. Then you might have others who are not so fundamental.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the large majority of people are just people that, you know, I believe in God, and I love Jesus, and that's that. You know, other than that, they just, you know, do their thing and don't worry much about it. And then you have, you know, the other end of the spectrum that are extremely, extremely devout.
Right.
And everything in between.
That's right. So, you know, if you happen to be living in the Bible Belt, you know, it can be tougher. But, you know, the Christian religion had to go through the same thing at one time and for a long time. So, you know, we just have to remember to is there a point to engaging them? You know, is it going to come out of anything? I mean, I've had a lot of people try to engage me, a lot of Christians, I should say, try to engage me in a conversation, try to save my soul, and usually with all good intent. And I know it's not going anywhere, that's not going to change anything, and I do thank them kindly for their kindness. And so we can remember that, but pick your battles, you know. If it's not going anywhere, it's perhaps not worth it. If there's a chance it'll go somewhere, then, you know, use your own good judgment. Use your own good judgment. So we wish you the best, Dave, on your doing your thing and completing your doctoral degree. And, you know, we wish you the best on your plans with opening your own church.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you coming on and joining us for this topic tonight. And, of course, Dave's the membership director at MCHS Church. And if you want to interact with Dave more, then come on over to mchschurch.org and join us there. And you'll see some posts by Dave, and you can interact.
And feel free to email me as well.
Yeah, and you can contact him through the website. There's one last question here. I wonder how successful has he been in moving Christians away from only using the Bible as gospel when having existential discussions, or do you even try to? Have you done that? Do they still cling to the Bible?
I've had some discussions with people, and I've pointed out things that are in the Bible, and, you know, had in-depth conversations, and people have been like, you know, I never really thought about it like that. But conditioning is a very, very intense thing, and mm-hmm. if somebody has believed something all their life, it's really hard
mm-hmm.
to, you know, offer anything different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it is. And I think that is a good point. That question was a good question, because if we can try that angle at times, it may work. If we can say, okay, set the Bible aside for a moment, look at the greater reality, look at the big picture, you know, does this make sense? Does that make sense? To me, that's something that really helped me, because I looked at the bigger reality and it just isn't quite covered within the belief system of Christianity. So I appreciate the question. And Dave, again, thanks so much for joining us tonight. And we will let you enjoy the rest of the program, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Great. Take care. Okay, so that was Dave Clifton, MCHS Church Membership Director, talking about metaphysics in the Bible Belt, something that he obviously deals with. A lot of us do, I should say, not most of us necessarily, but a lot of us do, being in that particular part of the country, generally the lower half in the southeast portion of the country. What we've got coming up next is we're going to do our very first ever ceremony. It is called the Rite of Equinoctial Equilibrium, and Reverend Vicki Hunter is going to come on with me, and we're going to discuss what that means, what it's about, and then we're going to go through the ceremony. And so if you've got a candle and would like to join us, that would be super. If you don't have one, we're going to go to a break here for just three minutes, and then you can grab one. When we come back, we will discuss that part of the program. So hang with us. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, and we're back. And with me is Dr. Vicki Hunter. Welcome, Vicki.
Good evening. Nice to be here. This is a big event, Doug.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is our very first ceremony. Of course, we are continuing to develop MCHS Church, and this is one of the developments coming out of it. So we're going to be doing our first ceremony tonight around the upcoming equinox, which is actually this coming Friday the 23rd. It varies each year. It can be the 22nd or the 23rd for the fall equinox. Of course, if you're in the southern hemisphere, it would be the spring equinox for them.
Well, and to explain perhaps a little more to listeners and other people learning, 4 events a year. There is that, half of the year, the spring, pardon me, the winter and the summer, the solstice, and then you have, I kind of had a dyslexic moment there, Doug.
Hey,
you have equinoxes and you have
solstices. Mm-hmm.
And in an equinox, this is when it's mathematical. It's when there is an equilibrium, and that's...
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name here. It's when everything starts to balance out.
Right.
So it's mathematical. It's as old as time, I might add, to ancient cultures. Very often in cultures, they also address the 13 moons. There's 13 moons in a year, but we could go back in history and debate calendars also. So just keeping it simple, there are 4 quadrants, and this is a harvest time. So our harvest moon, the last full moon, would have been a harvest moon. Some cultures call it the corn moon. There's many different names for it, but basically it's when we have, done the planting and we've done the harvest, and now we're giving blessings in gratitude for all that Earth gives us. But mathematically, when you think about it, it's when the Earth is getting in alignment with the universe. And that it's really as simple as that, and it's a really powerful time, and a powerful time for us to mark ourselves in lining up with the universe. It's very exciting, actually.
It is, and the point of doing these ceremonies around these 4 events during the year, the 2 equinoxes, the 2 solstices, is really just, they're just convenient time. They're clocks, right? They're time frames. The ceremony that we're going through tonight, it's really something that we should live by. It's something we should do every day. And it's just, we're not trying to make anything mystical out of it. We're just saying this is a good time for remembrance. This is a good time to refocus. This is a good time to bring things into balance, to reharmonize things in our life that we might need to take a look at. It's all it is. It's a reminder, and it's a ceremony to remind us and to kind of bring us together. It's a time to, as you said, express gratitude and send out positive intent into the universe and positive energy into the universe.
If we can just add in here for a moment, Doug, that we are all ritualistic beings. Everyone has their own ritual in a day, your times of year, whether it's a birthday, for instance. These are all rituals, but I say if you eat with a fork, it's a ritual. We have to have ritual and order in some ways to prevent chaos, really. But we're like that. We like to belong to something. We like some order. We like consistency. And ritual brings people together. Food is the best way to make a family feel like they belong. Everyone sits at a table and they join in the... It's really a ceremony of eating. And...
Mm-hmm.
So when we start to, incorporate ritual that brings us together, it's our membership, it's our connection in humanity,
mm-hmm.
connection in the universe, and I think it's a wonderful expression in something that we can all do together and to develop and grow in a connection. And that's what I love about ceremony. I
mm-hmm.
love ceremony.
And those are some excellent points, too, and that's what we want to get across. 4 times a year, the 2 equinoxes, the 2 solstices. So for the equinoxes, we'll be doing this rite of equinoctial equilibrium. Say that a few times.
Equinoctial equilibrium.
And in for the solstices, there's going to be the rite of cynosure. And the term cynosure starts with a C-Y. It just means something that strongly attracts attention by its brilliance. It's something that's serving for guidance or direction. So it's an apt word to describe, again, the same purpose as the ceremony we're doing tonight, but we'll have two different ceremonies, per se, for the rite of cynosure. We'll have the rite of cynosure for Sol Prevailing, which is basically the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere, the longest day. The rite of cynosure for Luna Prevailing, which is the longest night in the winter for us in the northern hemisphere. It'll still be the shortest day of the year, even for the southern hemisphere. So,
and these are very sacred times for many old cultures, and many cultures that exist today. Very sacred times for the quiet, and again for the longest days, longest nights. And there's just to tell people that, you know, something that Dave mentioned earlier about having some education about various religions. People will encounter many different belief systems and many different practices, you know, from Wiccans to, you know, and of course Christians. The thing is, these are the most ancient of practices and the most sacred to all cultures as old as time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just to get that across to folks. That's all.
So there's a question in the chat room. Where does tonight's ceremony come from? It was a collaborative effort by Dr. Vicky and myself.
A lot of research.
Yeah, and it's the wording is really styled to harmonize with the beliefs, metaphysical beliefs of MCHS Church. And so those of you who are students in the Metaphysics Institute will recognize some of the terms. Some of you who are members and are familiar with the principles of belief will recognize some of the terms. And the way that this ceremony is structured is it's handled by two ordained ministers of MCHS Church. And so tonight I will be taking the lead position and Vicky will be supporting me on this. And so I don't think there's anything else to add, do you?
Unless anybody has any questions before we begin, but we'd be happy to answer afterward also if anyone has any questions.
Sure.
And don't forget, Camille Edwards will be joining me afterward. And, you know, this is a topic very familiar to Camille. So, you know, if you have questions for Camille later also, so please, you know, if you have questions later, we'll be here and we'll continue the discussion.
So this is the part where if you have a candle handy, you'll wait for the cue to light it. It'll be obvious. And then at the end of the ceremony, we will quench the flame, and that will also be on cue. It has meaning, which will be brought out in the wording. This particular ceremony is just under 7 minutes long, so we're going to read it verbatim as we have written it. And so we begin the ceremony. With the lighting of the flame, we commence the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We invite all those who are able to join us in lighting the ceremonial flame.
Through the universe, of which I'm a part, beats the energy of life and into my heart. A flame of fire lights up my soul with will and desire for the world to know. The energy of life beats through my heart and through the universe of which I'm a part.
With the lighting of the flame, we symbolically transfer the fire of our spirit to a visual representation that we can see and feel. For in this way, we are reminded of the power of this fire, the power of our spirit, the fire of our passion to fulfill our unique and individual purpose, the passion of our spirit to do no harm, and to do right, the never-ending light and warmth contained within us that honors the divine nature of all life and regards all sentient life as equal, having one common origin in the stuff of stars. We are one planet and one race, with one ancestry and one destiny. The energy of our unfettered consciousness creates an expanded awareness of the profound connection that we have to one another, to all divine life, to Mother Earth, and to the universe. We pause in grateful acknowledgement of the universal consciousness that connects and unites us all. We take a moment of silence in honor, remembrance, and appreciation for the interdependent relationships we have with those closest to us and with all living things. We are connected to all things, and yet we are one. In each one of us lies the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately prevail in the face of any dilemma, to rise above any obstacle, to triumph over any challenge. We recognize the inherent responsibility we have as a race of adept beings to resolve the challenges before us and acknowledge that this is as it should be. The flame before us is complete within itself. It needs no other spark to sustain it. We too are complete within ourselves and need no other spark to sustain us. The synergy of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. We need nothing nor anyone outside ourselves, for the answers we seek already exist within us. Our flame is within. We look there. This is the time of year that the day and the night are in balance. They are equal. It is in this equilibrium that we seek to reconcile the things unequal, to recalibrate the things unbalanced, to recenter our consciousness and awareness, to realign our thoughts with the fulfillment of our individual and unique purpose. We draw from the cycles, phases, and rhythms of the universe that continue in perfect harmony from time immemorial. We attune the cycles, phases, and rhythms inherent in our own inner universe that they may serve our highest good and that we may serve others for their highest good in the spirit of do no harm and do right. So the day, so the night, so the universe, so our life. Equilibrium is renewed. In our innermost thoughts, in our heart of hearts, we strive toward positive consciousness, harboring ill will toward no form of life. So the energy within, so the energy without, so the one, so the many. We possess conscious awareness of the universal mind, the universal consciousness, the interconnectedness of all who are. Thus, synergy is created. We pause for a moment to send out positive energy to those in need. We recognize the power of gratitude and deliberate intent, for like attracts like, and the like that we positively intend is the like that we invite and the sum that we receive. We pause for a moment of silence to calibrate our intent, to send positive and deliberate intent out into the universe in harmony with our own unique purpose so that it may return to us in due time. As the fire of the flame burns before us, so too burns the flame of our passion for doing right, and the fire in our soul to immerse all that is in the light of our positive intent and universal consciousness. May the fire of our essence burn brightly to the higher good of all who are.
The fires for life burn deeply within, joined within the universe. Creations begin. Brightly shining, new thoughts akin, and so it is. The light within, and so it is.
With the quenching of the flame, we affirm the transference of its light, warmth, and energy to empower the spirit within us as a beacon of light shining brightly upon the world in the strength of do no harm. We make it so, and so it is. And this completes the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We thank you for joining us in this ceremony. Please join us for our next ceremony on December 22nd. And that is our ceremony. And of course, our flame should be transferred and within us. And I thank you, Vicki, for helping me to deliver that and being part of the creation of that.
Thank you very much for having me, Doug. It was beautiful. And you did an amazing job on writing that, and I commend you.
As did you.
It really is a privilege to be a part of this. Thank you.
And we thank all of those joining us tonight for the live ceremony, those who are listening to the archive. We look forward to the next one coming up in December. So that pretty much brings us toward the end of this part of the program. If you like what you're hearing on this, please tell others about the show. Tell them on Facebook. Tell them on Twitter. Tell them wherever you are. If you have a topic that you'd like to see discussed on this, then let me know. Send me an email, admin@mchschurch.org. And, of course, you're always invited to join MCH Church if you're not already a member. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. We would love to have you there as a student. So that wraps up my part of the program. Please stay tuned for Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective with special guest Camille Edwards coming up after the break. This is Doug Kelly encouraging you to have a great week.
Been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.
This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org. This is Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective. Keep in mind that this is your show. You get to call in, ask your questions. If there's something you'd like to know about your life, something that is on your mind, like to put it to us, please feel free to call us, 714-459-3973. It's at the top of your screen on Blog Talk Radio. Or feel free, write your questions in our chat room. I don't always have a great time multitasking, but that's where we got Doug Kelly and good old John helping us out here and covering my back here. That was a really wonderful program, certainly with Dave Clifton, and our first ever Equinox ceremony. I look forward to many more. So thank you very much to Dr. Doug Kelly. Now, last week, we were having a wonderful conversation with Camille Edwards, and, you know, in this wonderful world of the Internet that we it's such a magical, wonderful thing, and sometimes I think we take it for granted. So, you know, when stuff happens, I just kick back and say, oh, well, I think it's just great that we get to be here at all. So, just one of those things, the Internet went down, and we get to come back on this week. And Camille has been wonderful to say that she would join us in again. Now, to give a little bit of background for people who weren't with us last week or who haven't caught the show in the archives. Camille Edwards is with the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science in the doctoral program. And Camille is a Shaw woman. She is a herbalist. She does Reiki. She does crystals and stones. She does all kinds of wonderful things. And presently studying in the hypnosis program at IMHS, and also an ordained minister with MCHS. Welcome back, Camille.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicki. It's good to be back. It was an excellent show tonight. The ceremony was very nice.
I got warm fuzzies. I just feel good.
It was nice. It was great.
Yeah. I think this is what it's all about, too, is that we can all connect in a singular kind of way and just feel like we're a collective and get back in touch with our inner passion and our inner fire. I think that's important to do. I do this on my own every moon and every quarter, anyhow. So it's exciting for me to have others to share in it. You do your own thing, too, don't you, Camille?
I do. I have my own little rituals that I set aside each morning when I get up. It just helps to clear the day and it helps you keep things in perspective. So like you said, we are a ritualistic group. We have to have those rituals in place.
I agree. So in your work, and let's primarily say in, let's just call it for the sake of any other term, your spiritual work. Are there things that you also incorporate, like by the moons or by the quarters that you do? Like, is this particular moon? I was reading in the chat that you call it the nut moon.
That's Cherokee, right?
Okay. And I understand that you have a Cherokee background as well.
I have a Cherokee great grandmother. I'm still trying to trace her roots. Unfortunately, a lot of the records have been lost in our family.
Yeah.
But I do incorporate those cycles into things that I do, just not self-consciously, but spiritually. It just comes to me naturally to be aware that these events are occurring and happening. And like when we owned a farm, we wouldn't castrate animals until the full of the moon. I'm sorry for you males out there, but that was when it was done. And it was just always very important to us in our rituals, farm life, spiritual work, everything, to pay attention to what's going on out there in our universe.
And here, traditionally up here, the old farmers and cowboys and such would only castrate on a new moon because there was less bleeding.
That's correct.
Interesting. Yes. So there's that full moon with greater energy, the new moon with lesser energy, and to follow the energy flows. And if we're in tune, I think we can naturally feel it. Mind you, I think that people who work in hospitals and police departments unilaterally agree that full moons, it's busy.
It's true. It is so true.
Yeah, truly. Last time when we were when we got cut off, we were talking about your goals in the next few years, setting up a retreat of sorts at some land that you are working on in Tennessee, if I'm correct. Is that right?
That is correct. The goal is within the next 5 years, I plan to have a place where people can come for spiritual relaxation, spiritual retreat, spiritual healing, to practice on whatever it is that they need to focus on to have a spiritual healing. And the property, it won't be a commercial setup, it'll be private, but it's just a place where people will come and feel good about being there. That there's no pressure, no stress to perform or do anything other than what they need to do to get where they need to be.
Now, would you also offer, and what your plan is over this next while, to build up herbology teaching and your Reiki teaching and such?
Oh, yes. I plan on teaching, continue teaching with the Reiki, and we will also be offering herbal classes up in that area. Of course, I have not done my research yet to see how many herbal schools are in the area. I'm aware of one person at this point in time, and then I would like to eventually be able to do herb walks on the property, because this is in the mountain region and there's a lot of herbs that are very special to our region because of how the continent split. We have this forest basically that no other place has other than two or three other locations in the world that offers this host of herbal plants. And we are fortunate enough to live in this area. So I plan on having herbal walks, herbal schools, you might say, and also do my shaman work.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I had no idea that that area was on some kind of a, would it be a, like a ley line or such for the herbs and the plants? Or
it's where the continent's divided. It's
I see.
And it's the Appalachian, not the Appalachian Mountains. It's a part of the mountains that split off of when the continents split, and it's the oldest region on Earth, basically.
Wow.
And in it are what are called rainforests or special forests that are just special to these areas, and the Appalachian Mountains is one of those areas, and the Cumberland Plateau, where I have my property, falls into that range. While I'm talking, I'm trying to flip to the description a friend of mine wrote in her book. I read about it, and I went, wow, I didn't know that. But it's basically where the continents divided, and on the eastern coast, that is some of the oldest land in the world's history. People are not aware of that. Everyone thinks Africa, but it's on our side of the planet over here, too.
That is very interesting. I had no idea about that area in that way. All these wonderful things that we learn. I had no idea. Now, for the people who were not listening in last week's show, you come by this this affinity for herbs and this affinity for natural medicines, quite honestly.
Nicholas Culpepper was one of your great ancestors, who his book is still the most famous for and used quite frequently about herbs. And, geez, I have it here. It was, he wrote The Complete Herbal, The English Physician in 1652, and The Complete Herbal in 1653.
That's correct.
And he wrote An Astrological Judgment of Diseases from the Decumbiture of the Sick in 1655.
Right.
And he actually broke a lot of rules, that guy, breaking away from the church and believing that this should be available to all people, not through the church, and the church having power about medicine and health care for everyone.
That's correct, because it used to be only the monks could practice herbalism or medicine, and basically the people who took it away from the church were in defiance of the church.
So that's amazing that, it takes a lot of courage back in those days, and keeping in mind that was almost 400 years ago. So,
oh yes,
that took. Mind you, it didn't go without its punishment. I mean, he certainly was taken to task, but he stuck by his convictions and he kept going. So you come by this quite honestly, which is again part of my absolute conviction to understanding of DNA memory, and that it's very active in us. And sometimes when we have this affinity for something, it's not necessarily a spiritual memory, but it can very well be active in the DNA.
And I'm now a firm believer in that. When you pointed this out to me in a show a couple of months ago, and when I first started becoming an herbalist, I had to study the history of herbology, and Nicholas Culpepper's name came up, and I said, my family lineage is Culpepper. So I started doing my homework on him and realized he's a direct descendant, or I'm a direct descendant. And I truly believe in that DNA imprint.
I do too. Now, Nicholas Culpepper's father was a clergy, which, again, that the ministerial element, the wanting to serve to a higher purpose, to a divine purpose in a way, I suppose, wanting to serve the people and believing in a divine power, whether it was Christian or not, there's still a good heart behind that. So that you become an ordained minister is not a surprise also. It all kind of fits in. That's I think that's exciting, and I think when we know a little bit more of our ancestry, we find, there's some similarities back there. My great-grandmother was a teacup reader, and, she lived the old ways, and there was, two generations of steering around a Christian way. I've since resurrected a lot of the old ways in our family and teaching my grandkids, and so I think that there's some things just by nature. In fact, my mother, my poor mother, I was a very, very young girl, and she would say, you're just like, your great-grandmother, you're possessed by the devil, no good will come of you.
You devil you.
I know. Well, I was making predictions, very young, and the church, bless their hearts. I like to ask questions. I ask questions about everything. And I think this is, I have a hang up about it. I believe in everyone's right to ask questions. It's open your mind, ask questions. And when you're not permitted to ask questions, I think it's a limitation of the mind. And to me, it kind of borders on a criminality in a way. That rise into your own potential, to explore your own possibilities of thought. And to me, that's all part of illumination and enlightenment, and reaching your own destiny, if you will, in a lifetime. And whatever you can succeed to do, go for it.
And I agree. It's, my belief and my thought on this is that my Creator would not want me to blindly follow. That's what he, she gave me a brain for, is to use it, to think, and to determine my own way rather than to blindly follow others. And even as a small child, I would ask questions. Well, I don't understand this. And I was told, shh, don't say that, child. You'll go to hell. Or, you know, you shouldn't ever question the Bible. Don't ever, ever question the Bible. And it's like, but then why did God give me a brain? And I was always in trouble, always in trouble. And so
I think
All right. But you know what I'm saying. I was always asking the questions that was always saying, you cannot ask that type of question.
Well, I got kicked out of teaching Sunday school myself. So I think I've said it on a previous show. I was 14. I was teaching Sunday school in the United Church. And in the basement, you know, and I'm looking up at this pillar, at this huge big painting of Jesus. And this woman, you know, with the roller curled hair and the little floral dress comes over and says, get to work. You have a class. You have to go to work. And I was just mesmerized by this picture. And I said, I asked her, I said, but I'm looking at this picture and I want to know who said Jesus looked like that. Oh, I think she turned three shades of green. And her words to me, yours is not to question. Yours is to go and teach. And but she went upstairs, had a meeting, and they all threw me out. So, but, you know, I did try to get my point across that if he was born in the Middle East, wouldn't he have brown skin? You know, I mean, there were things that just made sense to me, even that young. And again, the right to question. And to continue to pursue one's own enlightenment. And yes, there's just so many things. What I do for myself and what made simple sense in my own grounding was to go back to what's simple and again, what makes sense. The earth rotates. You know, we've got how many moons? We've got how many quarters? And maybe that's in my genetic memory also. I'm sure it has a lot to do with it. But I was attracted to that. I was attracted to rhythms, and I'm a pattern freak, I'm afraid. I really like to look at patterns and how things are habitual, maybe. You know, and what is the same that rotates, and then how is it different? And I like to study it. I like to observe. I like to come up with questions. So this is always, you know, just my thing. And the DNA memory, how we're here, how we continue to go, I think we're all starting to rise up. I think there's a tremendous illumination occurring on the planet at the moment. Yes, it has its equals and opposites, but I think that we're all starting to connect and rejoin up, and
I agree.
The MCHS is a part of that. So no matter the venue, because you do some amazing things with your life and your work, Camille. I think it's extraordinary.
Thank you, and I try. I just hope that one day that more and more people will come on board and understand that we're not here bashing other religions or other thought processes or other beliefs. We're here to unite and make, you know, and become one as we already are. It's just how we think and believe that keeps us apart.
I agree. Now, what I'd like to, before we go much further, I would like to inject here that in light of what we have been talking about with your study of herbology and that you teach herbology, and we got a few things stirring in here that Camille and I have recently had a talk. We had a talk with Doug Kelly as well. Beginning, I believe, next week, is it, Camille? Are you comfortable with that?
Next week. Yes, I am.
Next week, we're going to start. We're going to have, I think we're going to call it, or Camille's going to call it Camille's Corner, and it's going to be on herbology. She's going to come on with 2, 3, 5-minute tips you know, either between Doug and I's show or on the show, and we'll figure it out as we go. But anyone listening, anyone who has any questions about herbs, herbology, and so on, you now have a venue to ask your questions. And Camille's going to be here for you. I'm real excited about that. I think it's a really wonderful extension of knowledge that you offer, and I'm just so glad you're coming on, Camille.
Well, I think it's going to be exciting, and you know, I want people to feel free to ask the questions, and if you want to during the course before next week, email a question. You send it through the church, and I'm sure it'll be rerouted to me. And, you know, that way I can answer your questions and be prepared to answer them on the air. And I would be also be more than happy to answer questions just on via email at any given point in time. So feel free to contact me.
And I think why this is important, and maybe just to clarify, good health is good thinking.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And, you know, good health is also part of keeping your spiritual well-being in balance. It's, you know, some of us are born with illnesses or things that are out of our control. But if we're in an area where we're self-destructing by the foods that we put in our mouths or the habits that we have formed, it's never too late to start changing. Never too late.
Well, I think this is a great opportunity for our members and our listeners, anyone who would like to forward some questions to Camille, and please do so. Camille will do her best in upcoming shows. Once a week, she'll be on her little section or vignette, and, you know, we never know. Maybe in the new year, as it develops, this will expand also. So I think that this is a wonderful step in the development of our programming and MCHS Church. And I see that it's just posted there, admin@mchschurch.org. I think I have a little speech problem today. so again, admin@mchschurch.org. Please feel free, and you know, in time, Camille will have her own email set up with the church also, I'm sure. So I'm really looking forward to that. When we're talking about basic herbology and understanding herbs, what are like the three most important things? If somebody is going to study herbology, Camille, what would be like two or three really important things that they would need to look at and consider in the study of it?
In the study of herbology, the first thing, the most important thing you have to focus on is the proper identification of the plants. The second thing is to know, you have to know and be aware of the human body and how it functions. We won't get that in depth on the radio show, of course, but it's very important that you're aware of anatomy and the physiology of the body, because, you know, you're not a doctor by any means as an herbalist, but you should know how things interact. And the third and most important thing is you got to know how the drugs are going to interact with the human body and also with other medications and so forth. It's not just, oh, I read a book and I'm going to take this herb. It's you've got to know these other things to make it be a successful program for you. You can't just all of a sudden start taking herbs, vitamins, minerals and expect results. You have to know the whole rounded picture of how everything works together.
Now, my understanding of a homeopath is someone who works with herbs, but also things that might be considered poisonous, like, mm-hmm. you know, that it would generally be poisonous in a particular dose, in a particular
like poison
recipe.
Ivy, yeah.
Sure, it might actually be a healing agent.
Like yin and yang.
Sure.
It's, yes, that is how that works. And that's
to me, people practicing that field of herbology really need to have a medical background because you are dealing with poisonous plants.
Right.
And when I say medical background, I'm talking nurses and so forth, because you are dealing with toxic plants in, as homeopathic. And I personally do not deal with toxic plants. There are a couple of plants that I will deal with as a expert herbalist, but on a whole, anything that I deal with can be eaten and consumed.
Which, just to clarify, which would be very different from the area of naturopathy, which mm-hmm. would be using already existing herbs, like other recipes that somebody might have some general understanding of anatomy and would use other herbs that are already, you know what I mean by it's already a line of herbs or lines of herbs that they use packaged
right.
that they would recommend for someone. So a
right.
naturopath is not necessarily making up their own remedies, whereas a homeopath would be. Does that make sense?
It does. It does to me.
Okay. Just so, we can clarify, because I think these are things that I run across that people do not know the difference. A xenobiologist, for instance, is somebody who studied Chinese herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are different terminologies that one has to understand, what the titles are and what they have studied. So if you're doing research, if anyone is doing research on these areas, please know the terminology and know the field of study and know what it involves, which herbology, then as you're saying, you don't deal with anything toxic. Is that simple?
Correct. With the Western herbs, correct. The school that I went to believed that if you can't put it in your mouth and eat it, we don't use it. Now, I have ventured further than that, and I do, on occasion, deal with herbs that could be deemed toxic. But as a professional, I know how to handle that. So, you have to be a professional
Well, I'm losing my audio there.
Okay,
there you are. You're back.
Okay. And it takes more than that. What I plan to share with the school and the listening audience of the school's show is basic herbology, basic herbalism, just what I call for the family, for you.
You mean things like we can actually eat dandelions?
Oh, yes, yes, man.
People
delicious.
Don't know you can eat dandelions.
And chickweed. Chickweed chickweed has as many vitamins and minerals in it, with the exception of one mineral that kelp has. Now, kelp is marketed as a big, giant vitamin, a big, giant supplement, and it's a big seller. But guess what? You can go out in your yard and pick the chickweed and eat it and get the same thing. So, and there's so much you can go out in your yard and just treat yourself.
You see, and I think that's really interesting information. And, if you're ever down on your salad mix, go outside and pick some.
Pick some chickweed, and it makes great antipasto sauce. I mean, you take and put it in the blender with garlic and olive oil, and, oh, man, it's delicious because it has a slight little peppery taste to it. It's really
good.
Now,
would there be any kind of physical support, or would it be healthy for anything in particular?
Chickweed, it's, the old appellation reason it was used was for two reasons, basically, was to lose weight, which I don't think it does. Honestly, I'm not going to tell you to eat chickweed to lose weight. What it's going to do is make you urinate more, which, of course, will have some loss. You will have some weight reduction in fluid.
So it's a stay-at-home weekend chickweed.
No, it's not that bad. And the other thing is the grandmothers would give it to people who were suffering from the flu. After they were coming out of the flu, you would drink chickweed tea to rebuild your body's energy.
Wow. That's interesting. So that's just giving our audience just a little hint at what's coming in future shows.
Absolutely. And I hope each week I'll have something new to share with you. And, you know, we'll start a show like on cayenne pepper. There is a lot of things you need to know about cayenne pepper. It's amazing. It's amazing stuff.
Yeah, I hear people take a lot of it, unfortunately. That's a lot of cayenne. But, yeah, I'm looking so forward to it. You know, Camille, I really do want to thank you again for joining us this week and coming back to join us. I look forward to upcoming shows. And I know that our audience and our school benefits from you and your membership. And I'm just excited. So I'm going to have Doug Kelly come back on the show. We're just going to have a brief chat and overview of tonight's programming. And then that'll be our show for today. So I know, Doug Kelly, I know you're there. Do you have any questions for Camille on herbs before she goes?
Yeah, cayenne. There's only one thing I know about cayenne.
Okay, what about it?
It hot.
And that hot is good for you.
I know, but my tongue don't like it.
Oh, but I would suggest acclimating yourself to it a little bit at a time, and then you'll find out, I can really handle this.
Without
try a little bit every day.
Without tears in my eyes.
Without tears
in
your eyes. Yeah.
Put it in a capsule.
Oh, that's true. And sometimes you can actually get the capsules with a little peppermint to keep any upset if you're sensitive.
Doesn't that do a number on the other end?
If you're that sensitive. But after you've been eating peppermint, I mean, cayenne like I have been, you don't notice it any longer.
Yeah, because it kills the nerves.
Blows them out, you might say.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Camille.
Oh, you are very welcome.
And we look forward to having you back next week. So thanks again, and thanks very much. I just want to say this thanks very much to Dave Clifton for joining us tonight, too. Hey, Doug?
Yeah, and John Hightower for hanging in there with waiting for calls.
And John Hightower. You know, I think that in my view, this type of conversation in our dialogue regarding the things that we do encounter in life is a really important dialogue to have, such as dealing with or coming up against controversy, you know, and challenges. And I think we just about covered it tonight, unless anybody has any other questions in the chat room that, you know, sometimes after a little while they have these little delayed questions.
Right.
So just to give anybody an opportunity to ask questions right now on tonight's program or anything that you may also have hanging around your mind.
Yeah.
You know, because you've been paying attention to the chat room, Doug. I haven't. So
yeah, there's some conversations going in and, you know, basically remarks to what you guys have been talking about. But it was a nice show, and it was a nice show even more so because, you know, we didn't lose internet. We didn't lose anything this time, and that's kind of an exception of the rule. But every time it happens, I get a little worried. But it's good, and, you know, it was a good ceremony. It was a good discussion. And, you know, I hope that folks, you know, one of the things I really hope about this is that people understand who are listening, who may listen to the archives, that we're real-life human beings. You know, we're not, you know, possessed. Well, some of us aren't. And
don't even go there.
Yeah. We're not possessed. You know, we're not weird. We're real-life human beings. We have families. We have loved ones. We have likes. We have dislikes. We have things that really excite us. We have things we don't find much excitement in. We're just people. And we're trying to offer an alternative to what's out there, a healthier alternative that doesn't denigrate the person, that builds up the person in a healthy manner, that helps people with relationships. And it's funny, the reason I bring this up is it's just funny how members will come, people will sign up for church membership and then, you know, leave like they couldn't get out fast enough. Kind of funny. But it's, you know, once they finally read what we actually believe, which,
you know,
is all healthy.
I think what really needs to be clarified is when we say we do not believe in God, it is the notion of God outside the self, as in a guy sitting in a chair calling all the shots.
Mm-hmm.
The point of saying that we don't believe in that kind of God, if we're going to use the word God, God exists within all of us. We are interconnected in the universe. We are a part of the God energy. Are there beings greater, more superior, in other words, like, do they know a little more than this girl? Now, you know, I think there's a lot of beings in the universe that know a whole lot more than I do. But we are all sentient beings. We're all the same. We are all equal. We all have the same access and opportunities to expand consciousness. I think this is the point. And again, I'm back to my thing about being able to ask questions. And I am a part of that God universe. I have never doubted that in my lifetime. I did, when I was young, go on a quest for God, and I came right back to myself and said, it's here. It's right here. I'm it. The responsibility of my life begins and ends right here. And I think that's ultimately what we're saying.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, it's a different way. And, you know, the belief in a God, in a single God, is theocracy, right? It's a theocratic way. It's one God. But there's a lot of the world that doesn't believe in one God. They believe in multiple gods. Or, you know,
sure.
You know, there's also atheistic nations. There's a lot of different beliefs out there. And,
sure.
Of course, any particular religion by necessity, you know, they all believe they have it. And what we're trying to say here is, look, we all have it. We all are people. We all need to set aside those petty differences that my God's bigger than your God, or my belief is right and yours is not. It's just, look, we're all on our path. We're all trying to find answers. We're all trying to make sense of this. We were all thrown into it. So, you know, that's what we're trying to do here, is unite people. And we're trying to, you know, gain a common ground and share positive and healthy attitudes
and be explorers. Mm-hmm. We're explorers.
Absolutely.
This is the point of the questions. We're explorers. We want to know more about the paranormal. We want to know more about the mystical, and make it less mystical by understanding that we're a part of that. You know, so I think this is the point, too. We're just explorers. We're here on Earth, we're exploring, and, you know, we're adventuring, and we're accumulating, and we're growing. And I love MCHS Church. Put it this way, I love what it represents, and that it's a safe place to explore. And I appreciate Doug Kelly for starting this church, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I thank you, Doug.
Well, it's very kind of you, and I thank you for being a part of it. I thank everybody for being a part of it that's a part of it, and I hope that more people will join us in, you know, sharing and sharpening one another.
Well, thanks, everyone, for joining in tonight, and all of our listeners and our participants in the chat room. Please join us next week, same time. I'm at 7 o'clock out here in the West. You're 9 o'clock in the East, and please feel free to tell your friends. Join in. We love the discussion. Thanks very much, Doug Kelly, and thanks, everybody.
Thank you.